Well, good morning. Welcome again, Shelter Rock Church. If you don't know me, I'm Henry, and I'm one of our pastors on staff. By the end of this series, we will all be like beat-bobbing to that song, right? I mean, come on. Like, I almost walked up here with a little bit of a strut just because I was feeling it a little bit, maybe by week two or three. But do me a favor. Just think about the words on the screen for a moment. Nothing but the blood. Think of that ancient hymn that there is nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood is so central to the Christian faith. And the blood is so central to the whole story of Scripture. Do you ever wonder why? Do you ever wonder why there is so much talk of blood in the Bible? Do you ever wonder why? The Old Testament sacrifices were to happen in the Old Testament to cover the sins of the people, and that they were actually to slaughter animals and take their blood as atonement for their sins. You ever wonder why priests would have to show up to the temple and sprinkle blood on the altar for the forgiveness of sins? I often think, Nathan, our jobs would look a lot differently if we lived 2,000 years ago. There would have been, our hands would have been filled with blood. Do you ever wonder why there's so much talk of blood, not just in the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament? When you look at Jesus, he says, whoever eats of my of flesh and drinks of my blood will have eternal life. And then when you get to the writers of the New Testament, they can't stop talking about the blood of Jesus. You know, the blood is mentioned over 450 times in the Bible. It's three times mentioned more often than the cross of Christ, five times more often than the death of Christ. What is this obsession with the blood? Well, some of you work in the medical profession. And if you work in medicine, you know that blood is essential to life. That blood is vital to life. That our bodies are comprised, people estimate, of about 60,000 miles of capillaries that literally carry our blood to and through our whole bodies. And not only does our blood carry nutrients to our bodies and oxygen all throughout our bodies, it actually takes away carbon dioxide away so that it actually produces waste from our bodies. It brings good things to our bodies and takes bad things from our bodies. That our blood regulates our body temperature. That our blood helps us fight infections. That our hearts beat approximately 100,000 beats every single day. Over the course of our lifetimes, our hearts will beat and pump blood through our whole body approximately 2.5 billion times. And throughout your whole lifetime, our hearts can't even take a break, because if our heart stops pumping blood even for a moment, it can cause severe brain damage or even death. See, blood is essential to life, which is why the Bible in Leviticus 17 says that the life of all flesh is in the blood. Why so much blood in the Bible? I would suggest there's so much blood in the Bible because there's so much sin in the world. And because of sin in the world came death in the world. And the only way you can reverse the curse of death is to infuse it with an agent of life. That makes sense? We understand that in our modern day world with blood transfusion. One pint of blood can save up to three lives. The metaphor is similar in the Scripture, that it's the blood of Jesus ultimately and fully, above every other sacrifice in the Old Testament. When Jesus died on the cross, his blood once for all made atonement and covering and secures salvation for all who will believe. For the writers of the Bible, it's about nothing but the blood of Jesus. Over the next 6 weeks, through the season of Lent, starting today all the way to Good Friday, we're going to be talking about nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it's going to be a little bit more technical, a little bit more of a theological series for us as a church. What we're going to do is we're going to look at key theological terms around the blood of Jesus. Because the writers of the Scriptures, they talk about the blood in such a multifaceted way, this full-orbed picture of the blood of Jesus and what it accomplishes for those who believe. We are justified by the blood of Jesus. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We have propitiation through the blood of Jesus. We have expiation through the blood of Jesus. We can draw near through the blood of Jesus, right? And today what we're going to look at is this one key word, how you and I, we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And the goal is that over the next 6 weeks, looking at all the different things the blood accomplishes, we'll have a more full picture of all that the blood accomplishes on our behalf. Does that make sense? I'm excited about this series. I don't know if I should be this excited about blood, but I'm just really excited to get into this and dig into it as a church together. Our text today comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. And we're going to look at one key theological word that appears in this text and in many others, in Acts 20 and Ephesians 1. But right here we see this word in 18 through 19. It's a great summary passage of the gospel and what God has done for us in Christ. Look at what Peter says. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Peter's writing to a church enduring severe persecution. They're scattered all throughout the Greek and Asia Minor. They're experiencing intense persecution, likely under someone like Nero in Rome, because of their Christian faith. And he's writing them to encourage them and to motivate them to stay faithful and to live distinct and holy lives in the presence of all the people. And he's reminding them, and one of the things he wants to motivate them with is this knowledge that they have been redeemed. There's our key word. Not by perishable things such as silver and gold, which will fade away, but with the precious, rare, valuable blood of Jesus. What does it mean to be redeemed? What does it mean to be redeemed by the blood? Well, at least three things we're going to look at today. First, to be redeemed means we are purchased. We are purchased. The Bible says you are not your own, but you are bought with a Christ. Bought with a price. With the precious blood of Jesus. And so you and I, to be redeemed, means we are purchased. Secondly, it means we are prized. We are prized. We are precious and valuable to God. It says you were bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. I mean, your willingness to spend on something is directly proportional to the value you place on the thing you're buying. And Jesus is saying, you are so prized by me, I'm willing to offer up my precious blood for you. You and I, we are prized by God. And lastly, we're going to see how we are passed over by God. Passed over. And I'm going to explain what that means. That's a word I'm intentionally drawing from the Old Testament and the story of redemption in Exodus, where the blood of the Lamb literally provided protection, and the angel of death passed over everyone who had the blood of the Lamb on their doors. So you and I, what does it mean to be redeemed? It means we are purchased, we are prized, we are passed over. Let's look at each. First, we are purchased. Peter's saying it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed. It wasn't with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed. That word redeemed is the key word for us today to unpack. We're going to understand what this means. But it's literally a word borrowed from the financial sector. It's a word that people work in finance. So you can relate to this. It's a word that literally means to buy or to purchase. So when the Bible says you've been redeemed, it literally means you have been bought by God. But it's a word that had a very specific meaning in the ancient and Greco world of that time. In fact, it was a word that was often used in that culture when you talked about the purchasing and buying of those who were either prisoners of war or trapped in slavery. In the Roman world, some scholars estimate there might have been over 60 million slaves. And this is the word they would have used when someone paid a purchase price to emancipate slaves, to set a captive free. And so here's the implication. Here's what's important for you and for me. Because the Bible is saying that you and I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, by implication, what it's saying is that because we have been redeemed right now, it means that at one point, you and I were in bondage, that we were enslaved, that we were in prison, that we were held captive. I want you to think about this image for a moment of a chain. In fact, I'm going to take this chain here as an example. The idea by implication to say we are redeemed means that at one point you and I, we were enslaved. I'm not doing a very good job with this, but you guys get the idea, right? Okay? So picture someone who's in chains and enslaved, and they're held captive, and they're not free to move where they want to move, not free to go where they want to go. They're held captive. This is the biblical picture of us before Jesus Christ, that we are enslaved in bondage to sin. We're all born into this condition, and we all choose to remain into it. And so this is our lives by nature and by choice. We are all in slavery to sin. But the word redeemed, literally, it's the Greek word luo. Everyone say luo. And you can almost hear it in English. It actually means to loosen or to untie. And so it's a beautiful image that the writers are using. To say we are redeemed means that we have been loosened. And the chains that go around us have been untied. That the chains have been broken, and that you and I who are redeemed are purchased and then set free. The chains fall, and now we are free. This is what it means to be redeemed, to be purchased by God. It means we who were held captive are now set free. There's an amazing story that comes through history about Abraham Lincoln. The story goes that when Abraham Lincoln was a young man, he was once at a slave auction. This was before the Civil War, when the slave trade was still active in the United States. And the story goes that Lincoln showed up at a slave auction, and he sees a slave block. There's all sorts of people, African slaves, who are being put up for sale. And people are bidding on them to claim them as their own, to purchase them and claim them as their property. And Lincoln sees this one young girl who's standing up front, and he feels so much compassion for her that he begins to bid on her himself. And he begins to bid, and he's outbidding everyone around him, and he keeps raising the price and raising the price and raising the price until finally he pays the price for her purchase. The young girl comes forward, and to her surprise and confusion, he says to her, "I purchased you so that now you can be free." The girl's confused, and she asks Abraham Lincoln, she says, "Does that mean that I can say whatever I want to say?" And he says, "Yes, dear, it means you can say whatever you want to say." She says, "Does that mean I can do whatever I want to do?" And he said, "Of course, sweetheart, you can do whatever you want to do." She asks, "Does that mean I can go wherever I want to go?" To which he says, "Yeah, of course, it means you're free. You can go wherever you want to go." And then she said, "Well, if it's all the same to you, sir, I'd like to go with you." Now, I just finished a biography on Abraham Lincoln literally last week. It was David Herbert Donald's huge, like massive volume on Lincoln. And that story was not in that book. In fact, historians tell us it's more likely legendary than it is legitimate. But it still packs a spiritual point. Right? You and I are no different than that person on a slave block held captive. And yet the scriptures tell us that God outbid everyone else, that Jesus was willing to pay the ultimate price to set us free. And that when we come to him and we come in a relationship with him, his words are to us, "I purchased you not to enslave you, not to entrap you, not to hold you in bondage. I purchased you so that you can be free." And the only logical response for anyone who has followed Jesus is the same response of that girl. Well, if it's all the same to you, I'd like to go with you. And we so join ourselves to Jesus because he is the one who set us free. What does it mean to be redeemed? It means you and I, we are purchased. But there's more. The text tells us not only are we purchased, but we are prized. We are prized. Look at what it says. "It was not with perishable things that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with" what? "The precious blood of Christ." That word "precious" is a word that could be translated to mean like exceedingly valuable, exceedingly rare, right? And the image is pretty clear. He's saying that like you weren't purchased with silver and gold, precious, valuable commodities in our world. Actually, you were purchased with something much more rare, much more expensive, much more valuable. You were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. Think about the image. Here's a picture of silver and gold, right? And in the ancient world, this was so valuable. If you would hold on to silver and gold, then it would be very hard for them to part with, right? Their wealth, their safety, their security, their future was tied into their wealth. But let's translate it now. Maybe you're not like stockpiling gold. Maybe you are. I don't know. But think about it in terms of dollars, right? Or pesos, or yen, or euros, or all sorts of like human currency. Like we understand the value of money. And what the Bible is saying is that there is only one currency that works in heaven, and it's not silver and gold or dollars or cents or pesos or euros. There's only one currency that can get us through the gates, and it is the currency of the precious blood of Jesus. Now I want you to think about the price that God was willing to pay, that he gave his own son to redeem us and to claim us as his own, that he was willing to send his son, and Jesus voluntarily willing to lay down his own life for you and for me. You know, something is only worth what someone is willing to spend on it, right? Something is only worth what you're willing to spend on it. You may really value like eating healthy, so you're willing to spend a lot of money on organic food. It's valuable to you. You may value, having an easy way to pull away your snow when it snows like this, and you have a really nice snow blower, right? It's worth it to you. It's valuable. You're willing to spend because it's worth it to you. For me, like I want to drive a car that, for my money, is the best vehicle on the planet. I drive a Jeep Wrangler, and so for me, I might be willing to spend more money on my Jeep Wrangler than you would be because it's worth it to me, right? If something is worth it to you and valuable to you, you really don't care how much it costs. You're willing to spend on it. I'll show you a picture real quick of some of the things in my life that are most valuable to me. This is a picture of my wife and my four kids. In fact, this was our Christmas card, and you can see how much I love my wife because she talked me into wearing matching pajamas with the rest of the family, okay? And I said, okay, sure, no problem, we'll do it, you know? And so this is how much I love her. We sent this out to all our friends and family, right? But here is a picture of those in my life who are most precious to me. They need something. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it costs. I look out for their needs more than my own. I'm going to make sure they have what they need. Why? Because that is how great my love is for them. Now, I love you too. I love all of you. I love our church, you know. Let me be real with you for just a moment. You know how many of them I would sacrifice for any of you? None. Not one. I love you. I'm happy to be your pastor. I hope to be here for the rest of my life in ministry, but how many of them would I sacrifice for you? Not a single one of them. This is what's so mind-blowing about what God does, that his love for each and every one of us is so great, he won't even withhold his only son, the son whom he loved, and Jesus voluntarily lays down his own life. He's willing to sacrifice it, not just for you and for me, but for literally for everyone who would possibly believe in him. I mean, this is the love of God for the whole world. You and I, we are prized by God. We are precious to God. We are valuable to God. There's a verse in Revelation. I was reading this in my Bible reading just last week, Revelation 5, where they're talking about the Lamb who was slain. And there's a new song in heaven that is being sung. And they sing this new song. And look what they say. With your blood to the Lamb, you have purchased, there's our word, for God, persons from where? From every tribe and language and people and nation. Think of the picture of heaven that God, with his blood, has sent his son to purchase and to redeem, not just those from one tribe or one people or one nation, right? It's like from all over the world, every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation, every single person on the planet is prized by God. It's just two verses today, but we're getting a lot out of this, right? I mean, you and I, we are purchased by God. We are prized by God. And lastly, we are passed over by God. And I mean passed over in the best sense of the word, right? That idea of the original Passover, that we are protected by God, permanently passed over by the blood of the Lamb. Look at what 1 Peter says. He says, is with precious blood. It wasn't through silver and gold or the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now who's Christ? A lamb without blemish or defect. Those words, lamb without blemish or defect, those are an exact quotation, a direct allusion from Exodus chapter 12. Do you remember the story? It's the greatest act of redemption in the Old Testament, when God set his people free from slavery and bondage in Egypt. And there were 12 plagues that went into Egypt, and the final plague was this plague of death, which was going to claim the life of the firstborn over everyone in all of the land. But God told his people first, he said, I want you to know that if you take a perfect, spotless lamb, literally a lamb without blemish or defect, and you sacrifice that lamb, and you take the blood of that lamb, and you put it on your doorpost, that when the angel of death comes over at night, it will literally pass over everyone who has the blood of the lamb. And that's exactly what happened that night. The Israelites went out, and those who believed in God and put their faith in God sacrificed a perfect, spotless, innocent lamb. And they took the blood of the lamb, and they put the lamb over their doorposts. And when death came to every home. But every home that had the blood of the lamb was passed over and protected for that one night. What the writers are saying is that anyone who has the blood of Jesus is not protected just for one night. That person who has the blood of Jesus is protected and passed over permanently for all of eternity, now and forever. Not because of what you and I have done, but no, all because of the blood of the Lamb. There's an intentional foreshadowing happening in Exodus 12, and 1 Peter is looking back at it. It was always all about Jesus and what Jesus was going to come and do once and for all. He was going to be the Lamb who was slain for the forgiveness of sins for everyone who would believe. There's a story that comes out of a church in Worden, Germany. This story's true. It's a story of a church. It's in Worden, Germany, and the story goes that there were workmen working on the roof of the church. There was some damage on the roof, and they were working on the roof. And there was one workman who was up at such a great height when he was working. And all of a sudden, his rope that was holding him on snapped, and he fell all the way down headlong into the field by the side of the church. Now, on that field, there were stones all around, and because of the way he had fallen, everyone who saw him fall thought he had fallen to his certain death. They rush down, and they come to the scene, and they all surround him, only to find that he's there and he's still alive, only with minor injuries. They couldn't believe it. They thought it was an absolute miracle. And when they lifted the man and they removed him away, what they discovered was that there had been a lamb who had been nibbling on the grass between the rocks. And this man laid and fell right on top of this lamb, which cushioned his blow and saved his life, but which cost the lamb its own. Later on, when he was fully recovered, he went back on that roof, and he carved a sculpture of a lamb to remind himself of the thing that had protected him and brought salvation to his own life. See, the fact that you and I are redeemed, we are not redeemed with perishable things such as silver and gold. We are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. As we move through this season of Lent, we're going to keep our eyes on the blood of the Lamb who was willingly held captive, right? Remember, our chains were loosened, but we were loosened so that, the way God did it is his hands were bound so our hands could be set free, right? He was slain so that you and I could be saved, right? He took on the punishment of death so that you and I could receive life. We were redeemed not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but we have been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ has come into our world to redeem and claim a people for himself. We have been purchased. We are prized. And because of what Jesus has done, we are passed over. We're going to close our service together today by receiving communion together. And in just a moment, we're going to receive the elements, and we're going to receive the bread and the juice. And they're reminders for us of our redemption. In him you have redemption, Paul says, the forgiveness of your sins. And so the worship team is going to lead us in a song, but I want to invite you just to consider the price that was paid for you. Let's make it personal. Put your own name in there. Think of yourself as that workman. You know, you and I, we're not very different than that workman. We're living this life and we go through our day to day, but ultimately each of us are going to fall and we're going to plunge into eternity. And the question is, what will happen then? You know, how safe will we be then? It sounds bleak, and honestly, it would be bleak had it not been for God. And God intervening, a perfect, spotless lamb has been sent to cushion our fall. So I want you to think about the blood of Jesus shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you've never once received him in faith. Maybe you've never put your trust in Jesus. Let today be the day. Let today be the day where you trust in the blood of the Lamb for your sins. Or maybe you've trusted in Jesus a long time ago. It's a good reminder of what Christ has done, like that carving on the church to remember our perfect, spotless Lamb who laid down his life for you and for me. So let us reflect on the love of Jesus, that I am purchased, I am prized, and I am passed over. I'm going to come up in just a moment. We'll receive of this Lord's table together. But for a moment, just reflect on what Christ has done for you.